It's Jim, it's the World of Bonds. It's Monday the 11th of March 2024. This is for professional investors only. Never ever investment advice. We've got a new market meme or narrative. It's now all about, quote, right tail risk. That's right tail risk. This is the idea that data developments for the US in the first couple of months of 2024 have raised the chances that not only would Fed cuts be delayed, but the strength of the US economy was such that there is a growing chance that the Fed would need to move into the right tail of the distribution curve around market expectations. So, in other words, that the economy is so strong that the Fed is going to have to start hiking. Remember Larry Summers, influential economist, quite controversial nowadays, but he put a 15% probability of the kind of outcome that the Fed will have to start hiking this year in one of his recent columns. So fears of that right tail event have led to two-year US Treasury bond yields moving up from a low of 4.14% in January to 4.73% in February. And remember, we took out at least a couple of Fed cuts expected over the course of 24 over that time, if you look at WIRP, as we do. But Friday, we had the employment report, and that employment report came in and significantly reduced the expectations that the US economy was re-accelerating. This was helped by the earlier PCE deflator numbers, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. And that showed the same thing on the inflation outlook. Didn't look like inflation is re-accelerating either. Now, neither of these things say really that we're not in a decent place in the US economy. And this isn't to say that the non-farm payroll number and employment report from Friday was weak. But to quote the title of one broker report, quote, bottom line, colon, resilience, but not overheating. And that's the kind of general message that people got from the numbers. So February's non-farm payroll headline number itself was actually above expectations. It came in at 275,000, and most people had it in the low 200s there. So it beat expectations, but there were significant revisions downwards to January and December's numbers, both of which are now below the 300,000 job creation level, having lost a net 167,000 jobs together. There was also a modest fall in average hourly earnings, so the wage inflation number fell from what people were expecting as well. As I say, to be clear, this was not a soft jobs report, and the price action in US Treasury bond market was to first rally somewhat, mainly on those downward revisions that we saw to the previous months, but then to reverse those gains later in Friday's session. We ended up with a bit of a bear steepener, with shorts outperforming the long end over the course of the afternoon. But June is back on with increased confidence for the first Fed rate cut, and we've reduced that right tail risk. Also helped last week, and it was a good week in general for US Treasuries, and it was helped by Jay Powell's speech during the week, which gave bond markets new hope. And he said, quote, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year. And note the idea that not only is he talking about rate cuts now, and he did elsewhere in the speech as well, but he kind of reinforced the idea that policy is tight here. So we're dialing back policy restraint. We're not moving from neutral to easy. We're just simply getting back towards neutral. So he's kind of leaving the Fed, I think, a lot of headroom to start that cutting process. So as I said, 10-year US Treasuries have had a good recovery now. They're down in yield from 4.32% to 4.06% in the last couple of weeks. Other movers to note, let's talk about the pound for a change. And the UK pound has risen up from a low of 125 in February to 128 versus the US dollar on not much, really. but perhaps some hope that the pessimism around the UK's recession, I still can't say it, is overdone. And so the 2024 data are at least not coming in with a recessionary tilt at the moment. Remember the last two quarters, 2023, we had this technical recession with growth at all slightly below zero. Actually, the data this year is not good, but it's it doesn't look like we're going to be stuck in recession for Q1 and onwards. So maybe that's a bit behind the pound's good run over the past couple of weeks. Dollar weakness also is a kind of generalised theme at the moment. Got to say, the budget didn't do much to move the dial in either direction. The other currency that's doing really well against the dollar is the Japanese yen. Euro's also doing well, but the yen continues its bigger rally. It's now up against the dollar, so in yen terms, down from 150 against the dollar to this morning, 146.75. So another 20 basis points this morning in appreciation. And again, it's based on expectations of monetary policy change from the central bank. So the Bank of Japan now is expected, or not necessarily expected, but marched, i.e. this month, is a strong possibility for an end finally to negative interest rate policy, NERP, and also growing expectations that the Bank of England might end its balance sheet expansion program through Rinban JGB purchases. It's still effectively doing QE, and so maybe that comes to an end as well. And also, and slash or, there might be a modification of yield curve control. We've already had a couple of modifications of that, but could you see that 10-year yield target band widen even further, or a change in the messaging about what the Bank of Japan would allow to happen to longer dated JGB bond yields? As I mentioned last week, the reason for this renewed optimism, not just some noises from the BOJ, but really the latest wage round in Japan, seemed to be quite decisive in terms of changing that narrative around the Japanese economy and changing the expectations for how soon the Bank of Japan will start removing NERP. So when we look at wage demands for mainly the smaller companies, we're looking at over 5% wage demands for the first time in, I guess, over three decades now. Right, I'm going to end today with an opposing view to the idea that the right tail risk is gone. This is a note that Torsten Slok, the Apollo chief economist, put out, just stating bluntly, the Fed will not cut rates in 2024. And in the interest of time, I'm just going to zoom through these 10 reasons and maybe we'll revisit them at some stage in a later podcast. Let's go. Number one, the economy is not slowing down. It is re-accelerating. And they think he bases this on growth expectations. So he thinks that normal economic actors think that growth is going to be higher, that financial conditions are very easy, in contrast to the Fed's thinking that they're moving from a tight financial conditions, they're easy, expectations for growth are higher, not lower, and the economy isn't going to slow down, it's going to re-accelerate. Number two, underlying measures of trend inflation are moving higher, so although they've been moving down, there is a bit of edging up. Third, super core inflation, which he says the Fed Chair Powell likes best, stripping out lots of the kind of non-core items, but going further than just food and energy, is also trending higher. Number four, the labour market remains tight, jobless claims are very low, and wage inflation is sticky between 4 and 5%. Number five, small businesses are planning to raise selling prices. Number six, manufacturing surveys show a higher trend in prices paid, which he says is a leading indicator of inflation. And there's my doorbell. Right, I'm just going to see what happens. I'll have to wait and see what happens with that last bit. Hiya, thank you very much. Cheers. Oh, it's Amazon, and it's for me. This is a delight. Right, where were we? Manufacturing surveys, higher trend in prices paid. Number seven, ISM services paid is also trending higher, their prices paid. So kind of a little bundling there of companies either experiencing or expecting higher prices to be passed on to consumers. Number eight, surveys of small businesses show that more small businesses are planning to raise worker compensation. Nine, rents are rising. More cities are seeing rising rents. Home prices are rising. And finally, number 10, which we kind of talked about earlier, but it's the financial conditions thing. Following the Fed pivot, we saw lower bond yields, and even though they came up a bit, we've got really tight credit spreads, we've got high stock markets, and all of those things feed through into financial conditions. So there we are, his conclusion. The bottom line is that the Fed will spend most of 2024 fighting inflation. As a result, yield levels in fixed income will stay high. Speak to you later in the week. Bye. Going to open my parcel now.